May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Psalm 136, verses 1 through 10. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. Put not your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. Their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bounded down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners and upholds the widow and the orphan. But the Lord brings the way of the wicked to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, from generation to generation. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God. For the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading today is from the 12th chapter of Mark, and starting in the 28th verse, I invite you to listen for the word of God. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second one is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and beside him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he'd answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any question. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Before I begin the sermon today, I want to invite your participation in this All Saints Day remembrance. I invite you to call to mind a person who you are thinking of this day, especially if it's someone who you've lost in the last year or in time before. I invite you to call to mind their name and a memory of your time with them. And I invite you to turn to someone near you and exchange names and stories, just a 30 seconds of calling to mind and naming their name here in this space. So I'll give you a minute. At 30 seconds, I'll say switch. So if you found a partner, that's the time to start listening. If you've been talking, this all makes sense, right? Okay, ready, set, go. Thank you for calling those names and memories into this space. I love that our sanctuary has around the edge in the clear story windows images of saints, relatively contemporary saints, who are a part of our memory and celebration in a visual display. I think also of all of those in the great cloud of witnesses who come with us to church on any given Sunday. I know that there are hymns that I sing that immediately remind me of someone I once sang them with or who loved it, that song, or who taught it to me. This morning, I put on one of my loudest stoles, which was a gift from a mentor pastor of mine, Earl Kernahan. I received this blessed, bright vestment after his death. Earl used to find me on Sunday morning before church. You may have heard me tell this story before. He used to find me on Sunday before church every Sunday. He was shorter than me, so it wasn't threatening when he did this, but he grabbed me by the shoulders, shook me just a little, and said, "Molly, I am in favor of you," which was the best blessing. To know that there are saints among us and saints who've gone before us, whose lives are for us encouragement and blessing and gift, whose faithfulness lights our path, about how we can walk as we reach places they may have never envisioned. On All Saints Day, I think of all those who've shaped my faith, who've shaped the faith that we share as a United Methodist Church, as Christians, as people seeking to follow Christ and stretching all the way back. Those thinkers and teachers, caregivers, and loved ones whose life has given us examples of love. I think what gift it is to know that we're not in this alone. And in these days, as so much feels like it's on the line, in anxious days, in the lead up to a national election that feels like it will have significant impact on us and others, I find blessing in remembering the generations we belong in, remembering the long and deep story of our God who invites us to love and be loved, to care for our neighbors, to love God and neighbor with all that we have. The love of God is not dependent on whether it looks like things are going well or not, for us or for others. The love of God draws us always into deep faithfulness and compassion. So I love that the lectionary offers us this beautiful text from the Gospel of Mark. Here in the middle of Mark, a radical and action-packed gospel, we find a little story that kind of lacks conflict. There's no twist. There's no foil. There's no suspense. Here in the middle of the Gospel of Mark, we have Jesus and a scribe, a religious leader of his Jewish community, encountering one another, asking questions, and agreeing. How mundane. Are there creative writers in the midst? This is not how you shape a compelling narrative that draws you in with the suspense. I find it wild that this text is here in the middle of our gospel, a moment of agreement. It exists as a sort of strange counterbalance to the relationship that Jesus had with religious leaders in his home Jewish community, where often it's the Pharisees and the scribes who miss the point. But here in this story, in the middle of the gospel, there's a reprieve, a moment of agreement, as these two leaders point to a common story, a common priority at the heart of the life of faith. And that is that we're called to honor our God by loving God with our heart and soul and mind and strength. And that we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. It's like a respite in the middle of a otherwise action-packed, tense story of conflict between powers that be and a radical love. Here in the middle, a refocus on the things that matter most. Feels like a gift to me that it comes on this All Saints Day, on this Sunday before a national election, that we have occasion to go deep, to look long, to see what we're about, who we're called to be, and the values that are at the core of our identity. The Christian faith is not just about saying words that give lip service to a belief in God, but an invitation to a participatory life, a life where we love God with our heart and soul and mind and strength, and where we love our neighbors as ourselves. So this morning, as we're gathered here, I'm mindful of the list of saints whose names we have already spoken into this room, mindful of the ways they modeled for us faithfulness. I think of the long faithfulness of church community members like Jane Crail and Roz Nelson, who persistently showed up. I think of teachers like Jan Gonder and Larry Owen, who lived love in their pursuit of their vocation of teaching, in caring for generations that will come after, in inspiring them to love beauty and to live compassionately. It was just a couple of years ago that Jane Crail came to a memorial service here for June Ghaffari, who also was a faithful choir member. And at that service, June's adult children were excited to see Miss Crail, who had been their elementary school teacher many decades prior. I think what a gift it is to have those teachers and educators who communicate love with their work, whose lives become intertwined with ours as we hold on to their memory. I think of Jane's joy in singing as a part of the choir, in her pride in being an educator, her joy in meeting new neighbors and being a part of the community. What a gift it is to have these saints among us. This morning, as our gospel text points us toward love, as we call to mind the memory of those who've gone before, I do want to acknowledge that as we remember the saints who've gone before, we remember not that they were perfect people, but how, as imperfect people, they conveyed love. They brought care to our world, sometimes in direct lessons, and sometimes as we committed to do otherwise. Those who've gone before us have shaped our lives in inspiration and reaction, as we take from them a commitment that moves us forward into what we're called to be. Those saints whose stories are woven into our own become encouragement, a voice behind our shoulder, nudging us on, someone cheering from the other side, celebrating with us the small and large triumphs as we are people who prioritize love. In the gift of grief, we honor the depth of love, not because grief is easy, but because deep grief is an echo back of deep love. As our hearts are broken open by the reality of our loss and change, daring to bear grief together as a community is a common witness that we are together, that we are not alone, and that those who are now gone from this life, that their love, that their memory is among us still. This last week, I turned back to the book See No Stranger by Valerie Kaur, a Sikh leader and so religious leader in her own community and voice in our interreligious landscape in the United States that's helping point us as a community toward reconciliation and mutual care that crosses boundaries. See No Stranger is an invitation to what she calls revolutionary love, where we refuse to see anyone else as a stranger or an enemy, but instead claim one another as neighbors. She writes about grief and the exhaustion it brings. She says, if you are like me, sometimes you're just too tired to cry, too tired to feel. When that moment comes, I ask you not to judge the emotions in your body. Let them come and go. There's something called empathy fatigue that happens when we get overloaded by ours or other people's pain. The good news is you don't need to feel empathy all the time. Love is not a rush of feeling. Love is a sweet labor. Love is a sweet labor. What matters is the work your hands do. So breathe and rest. And when you're ready, see if you can wonder about the world just a little, enough to show up to the labor one more day. Let wonder surprise you. The gospel points us to be people who show up to the work one more day, not because it's easy or simple, but because it's faithful. Faithful to the depth of love God holds us in, faithful to the memory of those who've gone before us, faithful to the challenges we now face. Whatever happens in an election this week, we are people who seek after the persistent love of God, who are called to see no strangers, to love God and neighbor with our whole selves, our heart and soul and mind and strength, not to be satisfied with a win or a loss. Although as a sidebar, we do celebrate the Dodgers win. That's a different story. In our national politics, in our community life, we are already one community and we will be on the other side. And we cannot afford to settle for seeing the results of the election as the deciding factor for who we will be. Instead, we're invited to ground our identity already and through it all in the love of God, who expects that we will love our neighbors and strangers and enemies with our heart and soul and mind and strength. This is the call of our lives, and it brings life and joy and hope, not because we are ignoring or forgetting about the heaviness of grief, but because we're compelled onward. This year, as I had the privilege of being a part of the United Methodist Church's General Conference, when we finally removed anti-LGBTQ+ rules from our Book of Discipline, I remember gathering there so mindful of all of the people who have labored, been laboring, and continue to do so for this step toward inclusion. I was thinking of a bishop now retired and in poor health so that he could not be physically present with us in Charlotte, who I encountered 24 years ago at General Conference as he tearfully said to me, with grief in his voice, I had hoped I'd get to see this change in my lifetime. And what a joy to know that he has lived long enough. Though his partner, his wife, Etta May, who labored alongside him for so long, is one of the saints we remember in our prayer. I think of the gift, the joy and triumph of moments of change and transformation, but the sorrow of those not present to see and be a part of what's happening. All of that's held together in us, as Pastor Diana said with the children, as we're happy and sad at the same time, as we hold together the complexity of love and grief, of life and loss and joy and new birth. On this All Saints Day, as we come to the communion table to taste the grace of God, I encourage you to be mindful of the generations of faith in which you stand, those you're aware of and not, the generations of the saints all the way back to the apostles and disciples and even Jesus, who have showed us what love can look like in our lives and in this world, who are present among us every time we taste the grace in that shared bread and cup. As we process down this center aisle, which is for me that sacred river, it helps that it's blue carpet here, you're invited to come to join the procession of love that flows from God to us and through us and on to the generations who will come after, to know that we stand as one piece of a movement that claims and holds fast to love at the center of it all. May you know that you are abundantly loved, and may you let your life be shaped around divine love for the sake of others. Amen.